Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Slash Film Daily. On today's episode of the show, we're going to be talking about the scariest movies of 2024. My name is Ben Pearson. I'm an editor at slashfilm.com, and I'm joined on today's episode by Slash Film editors Jacob Hall.
Hello, hello.
Brad Oman.
Hey, that's me.
BJ Colangelo.
Hi, hi, hiya.
Slash Film editor and chief film critic Chris Evangelista.
Hi.
And writer Bill Bria.
Boo.
Boo indeed. All right. So, Jacob, why don't you take the reins and lead us in this discussion of figuring out a ranking for the scariest movies of 2024?
Yeah, I just want to briefly say that we'll be doing a few of these in a row. By the time you hear this episode, the actual list should be live on slashfilm.com. But what we wanted to do this year is really offer the listener some real how to sausages made look at how our end of the year lists come together. We're doing podcast episodes, not every list, but a number of them will be recorded and then presented for you. So you can say, oh, why is this not on the list? Or why is this ranked so highly? The answer is literally right in a podcast. So you can hear it happen in real time. And we're kicking things off with, as Ben said, the 10 scariest horror movies of 2024. And give you an idea of how this came together. We have a big Google Doc. I asked the entire Slash Film team, editors, writers, everybody who works the site, to put together like titles that they would like consider for this list. And we have more than 10 right now. I'm not sure the exact count, maybe 15-ish. So we're going to be talking through this list and trimming it down, you know, saying goodbye to some movies, and then figuring out what the final ranking lies. And I want to emphasize here, this is the scariest horror movies of 2024. So there are some great movies that I'm looking at this list and going, not sure if this makes it, because it's a great horror movie, but is it the scariest? So with that said, shall I just read down the list and we'll take it from there, folks?
Yeah, definitely.
All right. So in alphabetical order, here are nominees for the scariest horror movies of 2024. Alien Romulus, Chime, Civil War, The Coffee Table, The First Omen, Heretic, Immaculate, In a Violent Nature, Late Night with the Devil, Long Legs, Nosferatu, Oddity, Red Rooms, Smile 2, The Substance, and Terrifier 3. So what I'm thinking is we can go around the table, and I would like to have each of us nominate a movie that we think has to be on this list. Like, you know, no holds barred. This must be locked in. If we do that, we'll have, you know, six films to start with, which I think is a pretty good way to get us rolling. But I would like if anybody feels strongly that something should not be on the list, like let's say if Bill nominated something and Chris and BJ say, ugh, no, Bill, you're wrong. We can like table it and ask Bill to nominate something else and we'll come back to it. So, like, but I want to see if there are any easy ones to get on the list first. So let's go ahead and BJ, you're first in my recording window here. So I'm going to ask you to nominate something you feel from this list qualifies for one of the 10 scariest films of 2024.
I am on the front lines for Red Rooms. This movie absolutely needs to be on our scariest horror movies list. There are multiple scenes, one in particular, that I have been just haunted by since watching this movie. This movie scared the shit out of me and continues to do so every time I think about it or talk about it. So Red Rooms, that's my choice.
BJ, for those of us who are behind on our end of year homework, like me, you picture me pulling my collar. What is Red Rooms? Like, what kind of scares are we talking about here?
Okay, so Red Rooms is a Shudder release, and it is French-Canadian. It is a psychological thriller that is also dealing with the dark web and true crime, and it is about a model who becomes very obsessed with this, like, high-profile case of a serial killer. So it's also a little bit of like a procedural in that regard. But she gets so fixated on this killer because he has been recording his killings and uploading them onto the dark web. So it's this like very notorious figure. She gets very involved in this case, very fixated on trying to, you know, solve this mystery of like this missing footage of another one of his victims. And it is just so haunting in the way that the sort of like online sleuth community can get very obsessed with true crime to the point that they completely dehumanize the people that are involved in it. It is just a disturbing character study of people who become fixated on real life macabre.
Chris, I know you're also a Red Rooms booster. Do you think this belongs on the list?
Yeah, definitely.
All right. I'm good with Red Rooms being on the list. I know that it's been popular amongst the team, and even though I haven't seen it, I feel like the buzz is strong enough that it feels like a lock to me.
Cool.
Perfect. Right. Anybody opposed to that? Anybody want to stand up and say no, Red Rooms?
I can't do it. It's a great film. I just have to say, scariest, it's not necessarily something that scared me to my core. It's more something that disturbed me, and I do make a weird distinction there. But I'm certainly not going to stand up and say no, Red Rooms, because it's a great movie and more people need to see it.
All right. That sounds like a good justification to me. And Billy, you are next in a rotation. So what would you nominate for a has to be on this list movie?
Well, mine is also a Shudder release, I believe, and it is Damien McCarthy's Oddity, which he is an Irish filmmaker. I believe this is his third-ish movie. I forget what number he's on here, but it's the first of his that I've seen, and it blew me away when I saw it in my little corner movie theater that's across the street from me where I live. Sort of went on a whim one night hearing some things about it, and I walked out of that theater incredibly shaken. It follows a blind medium who's also a shopkeeper who sells like curiosities, and hence the name Oddity, or part of the name Oddity, who is grieving the death of her twin sister that happened a year ago, and she goes to visit her deceased sister's ex, and the ex, you know, is now dating someone else very suspiciously, and this blind medium brings with her, amongst other things from her shop, a wooden mannequin, which involves part of her, let's say, investigation into what exactly happened to her sister. And it is two of the things I respond to in horror movies that scare me the most, because being a horror junkie, you know, you get inured to the classic style of, let's say, jump scares and, you know, mood setting, you know, stings and sets and props and whatnot. But I think if you can combine, and this is again for me, if you can combine a sense of palpable dread mixed with these short, sharp shocks of not necessarily jump scares, but even if they are jump scares, just done with impeccable timing, then you really got me. And this thing really got me, boy.
Yeah, Oddity is legit scary. This movie is creepy, and it has one of the best horror movie props I've ever seen in that dummy who is like hanging around for most of the film. If you haven't seen Oddity yet and you are like a fan of like small, low-key, scary horror, man, Oddity is good. I feel like Oddity is a pretty popular pickup amongst the teams. Anybody here want to double down this with me and Bill? Or
oh yeah, I'll like double this? Down on it with you. What's so funny is that Oddity was playing at the Overlook Film Festival, and they had the dummy prop like just hanging around, and you could like take pictures with it, and people were like, "Oh, check out this guy!" And I remember looking at it and being like, "I mean, it's kind of cool, but I don't know." And then I watched the movie, and I was like, that's the scariest fucking thing I've ever seen. I was just casually hanging out with it. What's wrong with me?
Sometimes you need to get to know a wooden man before it starts to scare you.
For real.
I'll definitely back you on this too. There's a tent scene in Oddity that is, I think, maybe the most scared I was watching a movie this year. It's just so incredibly effectively well done. That whole scare is just like the craft of it is pretty impeccable, I think.
On top of that, just the before you get to that moment too, there's like the suspense of not knowing like that the decision to make of whether or not there is somebody actually in your house when a stranger that you don't know just comes up to your door and tells you they saw someone enter your house. It's just like, what the fuck am I going to do?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it sounds like Oddity is a lock for this list. I think it may even be a contender for like the top three. We'll get to that in a second, though, because Ben, you're up next. What from this list has to be on it?
I'm torn between two here, but I'm gonna make the case for Alien Romulus, which I think we talked about earlier in the year. Just a really, really effective Alien movie. It kind of feels like a lot of Alien movies thrown into one. But specifically the moment where it basically turns into Don't Breathe or A Quiet Place, and like these characters are sort of walking through a section of the ship that has dozens of face huggers just like lurking and hanging out, and they're trying so desperately not to make a single noise. And that scene is crosscut with a moment of another character having alien blood dripped on them and the acid like burning through their skin and melting their flesh off. And then when the original group ends up making a noise, they have to do this all out sprint to outrun these jumping face huggers that are like skittering all over the place in a way that just kind of sent shivers down my spine. So I thought it was like a really effective set piece in the middle of this pretty great alien movie.
Plus, I think I'm going to throw out there too, along with that, the final man xenomorph hybrid is horrifying.
Yeah, definitely.
It was a special. I accidentally saw this movie 3 times in theaters this year, meaning I didn't plan on doing it, but just circumstances happened that way. And it was fantastic to see it every single time with an audience when there's a certain wide shot, establishing shot of the offspring at the end of the film. And every single audience I was with, you could hear their inhale into their mouths. Like it was kind of beautiful.
Yeah, this is an interesting one because Alien Romulus, it's for my money, a pretty good movie. I like watching it. Like, you know, it's a B, you know, a 7.5 out of 10, but when it's scary, I think it's really scary. So I think it qualifies for this list for me with the caveat that there are better films that we're going to cut from this list. But I think Alien Romulus has really effective scares. Chris, I know you're not an Alien Romulus fan. I'd like to hear you if we're being crazy or not.
I mean, yeah, I really don't want to be that guy, but I think this is a lousy movie and I don't think it's scary at all. not even like a little bit scary. I know I'm in the minority. People seem to love this movie. I think it's honestly the worst Alien movie, not counting the Alien vs. Predator movies, which I don't count. So I would love for this to not be on the list, but I know I'm in the minority there, so I'm not going to like throw a fit or anything like that. I just don't think it belongs.
Just out of curiosity, Ben, what was your alternate choice? I'm curious if that would be one that was it's more universal before we double down Alien.
Yeah, the only other one, Oddity was definitely on my list, Alien Romulus, and then the only other one that I was really willing to go to bat for in a serious way, I think, is The First Omen, where there's this moment. I mean, that's just a really surprisingly great movie for something that I think very easily just could have been sort of a slapdash, money grab, like lazy IP cash-in type of thing. I think it was just a really, really well-done version of the movie, and Arkasha Stevenson, the director, just an incredible debut feature from her. But there's a scene where this woman is at the monastery, which is like the central location of the film, and she's like freaking out as she's about to give birth. And the medical professionals who are there, or actually, I don't even know if they're medical professionals. They might just be like nuns and priests or whatever, but they give her some kind of gas, and this bizarre calm washes over her and she starts smiling and laughing, and like that's pretty unnerving as it is, but then she starts screaming and writhing, and you see this gnarled gray hand with long bony fingers emerge from her vagina, which like is incredibly unexpected, obviously, and especially from a movie released under the Walt Disney Company umbrella, is like one of the most shocking and transgressive images from any Disney movie. And BJ talked about that earlier this year, but just a wild moment in what I thought is one of the best horror movies overall of this year. So that's one that I would love to see on here.
Yeah, I'm willing to like Alien Romulus. I'm slightly hedgy on, but First Omen, I think, I has my 100% backing. I think this movie is terrific.
Oh yeah.
Anybody else think First Omen was scary?
I don't know if this is just because like I'm a lady, but this movie doesn't scare me as much as it makes me like so excited. But I've watched this movie with a couple of like groups of friends, people who are also very like, this feels like it's going to be a cheap cash grab. And there are multiple moments that like genuinely freaked people out when they were watching this. So I do think that it does have some scariness to especially people who are unfamiliar with, you know, the actual horrors of the actual body horror that is childbirth.
Mm.
Chris, are you a First Omen fan? I feel like I haven't heard your thoughts on this one yet.
Yeah, I like it a lot. It's good.
Would you feel good about this one being on the list?
Sure, yeah.
Oh, how about we put First Soma on the list and we'll table Alien for now and come back to that one?
Yeah,
I think that's a plan.
All right, Brad, you are up next. What should be on this list?
I am going to go with Long Legs.
I think
Long Legs is extremely unsettling. I think Nicolas Cage's performance is very creepy just because, like, I kind of get chills, like, thinking about being somebody, like, working somewhere like a pharmacy and having that person come up to me and interact with me in such a way, and it really weirds me out. Plus, I feel like the way that the story, like, brings, you know, the main character, like into it, and just the getting the creepy messages and, like, the puzzle she kind of has to solve, and then it tying into her past, like, brings it to a whole new personal level. And there's just so much about this movie that made me feel uneasy, and even more so when it ventured into that kind of, like, supernatural devil kind of stuff as well in the very end. So yeah, this movie really, really irked me, really creeped me out. So I think that's the one I'm going with.
Yeah, this is gonna be my choice, Brad, if you hadn't picked it. Long Legs, in addition to being, you know, a big critical and financial success this year, like one of, like, the big, like, success stories of 2024, like, whoa, where'd this come from kind of thing, I think it's legit scary. I think this movie lives up to the hype, and it's in my top five of the year for sure. I know Bill's a fan, and Ben, you're a fan of this one too, right? I remember you were like,
yep,
listen to that first because you were worried it would be too gory, but it was actually just more scary than it is gory.
Yeah, it's really, really good. I like this one a lot.
I know, I hate to call you Chris, but Chris, I think you're like the only person here who's not a Long Legs booster. Am I right?
I like it a lot. I find it, and I hate saying it like this because it makes me sound like I'm like a try-hard idiot, but like I find it genuinely funnier than I find it scarier. And I actually think Oz Perkins is doing that intentionally. I think he's trying to make a funny horror movie. And I feel like the trailer for the monkey backs this up, because that trailer is genuinely intentionally funny. So I'm not against it at all. I think I enjoy it. I enjoyed it the second time more than I watched like the first time. I feel like I was sort of like led astray by the hype. The hype really had me expecting something that I feel like this movie is not.
You and I had some questions about the logistics and sort of the logic of the movie and stuff. I remember us having a good conversation about that.
Yeah, I feel like, I'm a big booster of like the idea that movies don't have to make sense. Like, I'm okay with movies having their own internal logic, but I feel like a lot of the stuff in this movie sort of falls apart when you start to think about it a little too hard. And that kind of bugs me more than it probably should. But I don't want to give the impression that I think this is a bad movie. I don't. I enjoy this movie in a way that I feel like isn't what other people are getting from it. So I don't know if I'm the best person to ask about it.
If it makes you feel any better, Chris, I am also on that same side of the coin. Like, I really like this movie and it was one of my favorites of the year, but I also have way more fun with this movie than I am like, oh, I'm so terrified, this is so scary to me, because I do think that Oz Perkins is having a good time with this. And I don't know, that's what also makes this movie so interesting to me, is that for some people, this is like legitimately the scariest movie that they've seen this year. And then I don't know, maybe it's just I'm so fucking mentally ill, but I was just like, this movie's fun. This is really funny.
Well, I do. I think it's both, honestly, because there are things in it that are, I think, simultaneously funny, but they're also funny in just a really like, okay, kind of way. So like, I think it accomplishes both really well.
Yeah, like my now 12-year-old niece was Long Legs for Halloween this year. Like, so if a 12-year-old is getting down, like, I'm always going to be excited.
I think this one's a lock. And I know even with BJ and Chris, you are positing enough on it that I think that this list without Long Legs would feel wrong to me. I think it needs to be on there.
Yeah, I agree.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
All right, Chris. You're up next. What are you nominating? What has to be on here?
I'll go with Chime, which is a movie I know a lot of people have not seen, because technically it's an NFT, and I actually still don't know what an NFT is. I don't really
understand. I'm sorry, what?
Yeah, I'd like to point out, if anybody other than Chris was saying this, I would be like, fuck off.
Like, I don't really know, like, what an NFT is. Or it's, I mean, it is a movie. Like, it's not like you like, it's a movie you actually watch. And you know what? I'm just going to be blunt. I fucking pirated this. I don't care. Like, I don't care. I did not, like, I'm sorry. I'm not going to go through the hoops of buying an NFT, because I don't even know how that works. You can Google it. Polygon actually has an article about how to specifically rent this as an NFT. So, you know, by all means, do it the legal way if you want. I watched a bootleg of it. This is from I want to look up his name so I get it right, because I don't want to pick a fool.
I have it here. It's Kiyoshi Kurosawa, right?
Yeah, Kiyoshi Kurosawa, who directed Pulse, which is like one of my all-time favorite horror movies. He also directed Cure, which is another of my all-time favorite horror movies. So he's two for two for me. Like, he makes very slow-burning, dread-inducing, psychological horror movies. And Chime, it's only 45 minutes long, so it's not, you know, it won't take up much of your time. It's about a chef who teaches a culinary class, and one day one of his students tells him he keeps hearing this mysterious chime sound that no one else can hear. And then he proceeds to stab himself in the neck with a knife in front of everyone. And I won't say any more, because I know a lot of people haven't seen this yet, but it just goes from there and gets increasingly more disturbing and strange and unsettling. And it's very unpredictable. I don't want to give the impression that it's like an overly gory movie, even though I just said like a guy stabs himself in the neck. It's not like that. The horror is more about from the atmosphere. This movie has a very like haunted atmosphere, where like every single room every character is in feels like haunted in some imperceptible, indescribable way. And this movie really, really rattled me. It got to me in ways that horror movies do not. And again, I really hate saying this stuff, because I hate sounding like a smug try-hard guy, but like I'm so desensitized to horror, because horror is my genre. I grew up with horror movies. I've seen so many horror movies that horror movies don't really scare me. I can acknowledge like when they're supposed to be scary, but horror movies don't really scare me the way that like my girlfriend, like if I watch a horror movie with my girlfriend, she'll get like terrified, and I'll be like, I can't relate to this. So like, I'm desensitized to it. I'm sort of like inoculated against their power, but this really got to me. And when that happens, I find that pretty impressive, because, you know, if it's getting to me, I imagine, quote unquote, normal people will be, like clawing at their faces in terror. So, I would really like this to be on here. I understand if it's not going to make the list, because again, not many people have seen it. It's not easy to watch. You can find it out there if you want to find it. I really would recommend people seek this out. It's worth it.
I've also seen this, and this movie made me so overwhelmingly like existential and lonely, because everything that Chris said, this movie is, it's just like, it turns the most like mundane things into just a nightmare like of existence. Oh my god, yeah, this movie's great.
I think this makes the list. I have not hunted it down, but between BJ and Chris being desensitized horror nerds who are rattled by it, even if it's number 10 on the list, because only they have seen it, I feel like this has got to be on there. I have a hard time listening to this response to it and saying nah.
Yeah, I like it. Let's do it.
All right, so it's back to me. Okay, I'm going to go with a very accessible movie that was a big hit. A lot of people saw it, and that's Smile 2. I like Smile 1 quite a bit. I like Smile 2 more. And I think the director here, Parker Finn, he nails every scare. There's not a single scare sequence in Smile 2 where I felt it was cheap or phoned in or lazy. Every type of scare is in this movie, from jump scares to slow dread inducing, you know, segments, and all of it works. Like, there's a technical precision to the scares in Smile 2 and how they escalate that I found to be genuinely thrilling filmmaking. And Smile 2 has the energy of a gonzo, crazy, like indie splatter movie, but it has the polish and budget and scope of a mainstream, you know, Paramount release, which it is. Smile 2 is just a grand old time of the movies, and I spent the entire time laughing at Smile 2, and in a good way. I was cackling while gripping my armrest because I was having such a good time with the scares of Smile 2. It is the exact opposite of like Chime and Red Rooms, where it sounds like the scares are very upsetting. This is Funhouse roller coaster, man. What's going to happen next? Scares. And I think our list needs a big injection of Smile 2 right now.
Oh yeah, this is like the popcorn horror movie of the year for me in terms of just fun, hooting and hollering. Like, I'm not gonna have nightmares over this, but it is a roller coaster ride, and I am somebody who's very susceptible to jump scares because I overproduce adrenaline. So even if I'm desensitized, my body reacts, even if my mind doesn't want to. And I was like jumping in my seat nonstop watching this.
Oh, dead air. Does anybody here not like Smile 2?
No, I'm fully on board with this. And I think that it's leaps and bounds better than the first movie. It does a much better job of building dread and doing things that feel scarier than it was the first time around. I'm on board with this one.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, Smile 2's on the list. Okay, so that's 6 movies locked in. So we have 4 more slots and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 movies left. For contention, we got to cut 6 of those bad boys. So I'm thinking we can kind of like poke at this list a little bit now and see if there's anything that we want to gracefully cut. Like, for example, I love The Substance. The Substance is my top 10 of the year. It is Metaphor, the horror movie. I love it to death. It's not scary. It's not among the 10 scariest films of the year.
Yeah, I'd agree.
Yeah, I also agree. This movie brings me so much peace, and I feel like that says a lot about me. Not scares, but peace. Listen, right. Monstro Elisu putting an earring on does a lot for me, okay?
So, we'll acknowledge The Substance is really terrific, and you absolutely should see it if you're a horror fan, but not going to make our... It'll probably make our top 20 of the year list later on when we have that discussion, but I don't think
totally.
It's
going to... At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Another one I think we can talk about real quickly. Let's talk about, is Civil War a horror movie?
I was going to say, it feels like the one outlier that feels like we have to cut it because of its, you know, really lack of connection to the genre. If this was a list of scariest movies, and not horror movies, but scariest movies of 2024, I think it should be on there because it did unnerve me maybe more than Oddity, but it's not a horror movie, so...
Ryan Scott wrote about this for Slash Film, but the sound design in the last 40 minutes of Civil War is some of the scariest shit I've ever experienced in a movie theater. Mm-hmm. I saw it in an IMAX screening, and I felt my skull rattling. So I'm the one who put Civil War on this list because I wanted this conversation. I want to shout out that it is a viscerally terrifying film, but also I just don't think it belongs on this list.
Yeah.
I agree.
All right, let's cut it. Does anybody else want to look at something on here and gracefully take it off contention before we start getting nitty-gritty?
I kind of would like to cut Heretic, which I like Heretic. I'm not as high on it as some people. I think the first act, or whatever you want to call it, is amazing. When I was watching it, I was like, oh my God, this is like best of the year material for me. And then they go into the basement and the movie completely loses me. That said, I feel like even if it didn't lose me, I don't think it's particularly scary. I think it's disturbing, but I think it's a lot more fun than it is scary. I mean, Hugh Grant is really, he's the best part of the movie. He's swinging for the rafters. He's really going for it. But I never once found anything he was doing scary. I just found it funny in a twisted sort of way. So I honestly don't think it's a scary movie. I don't think it's a bad movie. I just don't think it's scary.
I put Heretic on this list. I love Heretic. I reviewed it. But my review said the same thing, Chris, which is the first hour of this film is so tense. And then they get to the basement and it's still good after that, but it's never reaches the heights of that first hour again. So as our local Heretic booster, I'm happy to acknowledge that it's really good. And I may push for a little bit in our final 20 movies of the year list, but I'm okay removing it here if everybody else is.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, one more that I want to talk about. Terrifier 3, I put it on the list. My question is Terrifier 3 scary? Because it is definitely uncomfortable. Seeing that in a crowded theater at Fantastic Fest, some of the imagery in that film is really upsetting. And watching it happen in front of your eyes and going, am I being put on a list right now because I'm watching Terrifier 3? But is it scary? That's my question to the floor right now.
I haven't seen these movies, so I can't weigh in, but...
I think that it's hard because I think asking us if this is scary, the answer is no, because I also think all of us have seen enough gore and splatter movies where like these sorts of things don't scare us. But I think for a lot of other people, these are the movies that scare the absolute shit out of them. So that's my struggle here.
And I don't know. I feel like the audience that I saw Terrifier 3 with really was having a ball. And this was a paid, you know, AMC theaters audience. This wasn't like a American Cinematheque Beyond Fest crowd. So it definitely seemed like more of a normie crowd. And even though it's LA, you know, and I feel like people were going on the roller coaster ride, but they weren't necessarily walking out of the theater going, whoa, I'm so shaken. They were, you know, just more excited about the grand guignol of it all. And I don't know if that's being scared or if it's not. I mean, I feel like definitely BJ is totally right in the sense that there's some people who are not exposed to this sort of, you know, material and they'll think about it for the rest of their lives. But, and you know, if this was a 15 scariest horror movies, maybe it should be on there. But in terms of the 10, I feel like it could be edged out.
All right, I'm going to put it with Alien Romulus for now. And we've discussed it, but I'm not ready to cut it moment. Who put the coffee table on here? I know, Chris, you're a fan of this one, but I think you may be the only person who's seen it on this podcast.
I didn't put it on the list, so someone else had to have seen it.
What is this? I don't think I've heard of this.
So this is a very, very upsetting movie.
Yeah.
Some people have called it more of a dark comedy than a horror movie, and I guess you could say that because it is funny in a very upsetting way. I don't really even know how to talk about this without like giving away what makes the movie what it is. So I don't, can we just cut it? I honestly don't know how to talk about it because like the only way to talk about it is to spoil the movie. Honestly, it's one of those movies where if you don't spoil what is going on, you're kind of not going to understand what makes the movie tick. So I don't really even know how to like talk about it. I'm very conflicted here. Like we can either like just charge forward and literally spoil it, or we can just say seek out the coffee table if you like sick and twisted stuff.
Let's not spoil it. I want to save our spoiler conversations for January. We talk about our best moments. I want to try to keep these ones as loose as possible so we can encourage people to see things. But BJ, it sounds like you've seen this too. Is the coffee table worth fighting for here, or is it one we can acknowledge and move on from?
So I'm with Chris on this again. I'm just like very much aligning with Chris today. This movie is, I do think that it is darkly comedic, like it, but it's in a very, very twisted way. This movie doesn't scare me, but this is one of those movies where you're like, I can't believe I'm watching what I'm watching. It's one of those kinds of movies.
I'm not, I know it's because of the nature of spoilers, but I'm not feeling as sold in this one as it was on Chime when it was like you two against, you know, everybody else and not against, but, you know, encouraging the rest of us. So I'm wondering if we should give a special shout out to Coffee Table here and then cut it so we can focus on filling the rest of the slots.
I would say that's best, honestly.
Yeah.
All right. So we still need to pick four more. Let's go over what's left. First of all, Nosferatu, Late Night with the Devil, In a Violent Nature, Immaculate, Terrifier 3, Alien Romulus. I haven't seen it yet, as I've discussed in this podcast already, and I won't see it till after Christmas, because that's just the nature of my life right now. But it sounds like Nosferatu has to be on this list.
I would really push for Nosferatu. I said
would
this,
too. I would,
know,
too.
Yeah, I said it in my review, but this is another one of those movies that actually gave me the creeps, which, as I've already said, is a rarity. And it just really impressed me. And I think what makes it even more impressive is that it's not really doing anything new. Like, it's like, if you've seen the original Nosferatu and if you've seen one of the 800 other Dracula movies, you kind of know exactly how this movie is going to play out. So it's not entirely treading new ground, and yet it's really impressive. And that to me is impressive, for lack of a better term. The fact that, like, I knew every beat of this story and still came away like rattled by it, I think says a lot. And a lot of it has to do with the atmosphere, the way the movie uses like shadow and sound, and the way Bill Skarsgård plays Count Orlok is very unique. It's not like what you're kind of expecting. It's very it's just different. I don't get away with spoilers because a lot of people haven't seen this yet, but it's not what you're kind of expecting from a quote-unquote Dracula performance. So I was really impressed by this, and I would like this to be on the list.
Oh yeah, this movie is like, it's so beautiful, it's so haunting, but the scares of it just overwhelm you because they're so creepy. And this isn't a spoiler because it's been well documented, but like, Bill Skarsgård voice trained to speak in an octave lower than his normal voice, and the sound of his voice just booms that you can like feel it in your rib cage. It's so incredible. And again, because it's the magic of most vampire movies, like, it's so enticing, like, it's so terrifying, but you want it so bad. Oh god, this movie rules.
Yeah, there's a cumulative intensity that Robert Eggers brings to this that is just kind of undeniable, and it's something that is really one of the most relentless, relentlessly creepy movies that I've seen this year. So
all right, something unlocked to me. I know Ben's also a fan, although you said you weren't as scared by it as these folks were.
Yeah, I still think there are plenty of great scary moments, but it just didn't necessarily like rattle me to my core. But yeah, it's very much like a your mileage may vary kind of thing. But yeah, there were definitely moments where I was looking at my wife while we were watching this and just like, oh my god, like, I can't believe we just saw that kind of thing. So it should definitely be on this list.
All right, okay. Here's my question about a movie on this list, movie on our contenders list that I love, I think could make a strong showing in our top 20 list. But is it scary? Is it scary enough to hold way on this list? And that's In a Violent Nature, the sort of deconstructed slasher film where it's with a Terrence Malickian, nature film following around the slasher during all the boring parts of the slasher movie. This movie is fascinating and beautiful, and I love it, and it's so interesting, and I'm kind of obsessed with it. But even the kills are more gross than scary, and it's kind of by design not scary, even though it's a great horror movie. So would anybody here contend for this to be among the 10 scariest of the year, or is this just going to be a wait till our top 20 list moment?
I kind of want it to be on the list.
I kind of would too. Yeah.
I want to counter that. I think this actually does reach a sort of like scary crescendo near the ending.
Yes, totally.
A lot of people have a problem with the last few minutes of this movie where the final girl, for lack of a better term, gets picked up by a woman driving a truck, and they have this really long, drawn-out conversation. And this seems to be where everyone, like, does not, like, the movie loses a lot of people. But I found this really effective because because this final girl is so, like, rattled from having survived this incident, and I guess I'm giving away spoilers here. Sorry. But the way it just plays out, how like she, like the truck pulls over to the side of the road and she looks out in the woods, and there's this implication that like, it's like the killer, whose name is Johnny, could like still be out there. And there's also this whole long sequence where we follow the final girl running through the woods at night, and it's like dark, and you hear the sounds of the woods all around her. And you also keep hearing Johnny like breathing as he may or may not be behind her. You can't really tell. And I found that like incredibly unnerving. I should also add, I watched this movie on a ton of edibles, so that might be playing an impact, but that final sequence where she's running through the woods in the dark and you hear all the animal sounds, I felt like I was going to have a panic attack. That could have been the edibles talking. I don't know. But that really got to me. So I kind of want this to be on the list. Also, I just love this movie a lot.
Chris, as a substance-free straight-edge man, let me back you up here, because it doesn't need edibles to be creepy, because I really did feel this vibe of, you know, what if you combined Halloween with the Blair Witch Project, you know, at the end of this, you know, the shoe that does not drop. And, you know, whether you are inundated with, you know, slasher mechanics and lore, and, you know that there's always a final scare in most slasher movies where, oh, it pops back up again, or he jumps out or something, you know. Even if you expect that, it's really creepy to not have that happen. If you don't know about that, it's still creepy to have this experiential, you know, like you said, Malachi, feeling of being lost in the woods and, you know, not knowing what's out there, what's around the corner, so on and so forth. So I do think that this movie has a cumulatively creepy, unsettling effect that, like you said, some people really don't vibe with because, you know, it kind of throws them off. But if you do vibe with it, it really gets under your skin.
All right. You know what? If BJ and Ben or Brad are convinced, then I'm convinced too.
Yeah, I think it should be on there.
I'm a centrist when it comes to this movie. I like this more as a movie than I do as like a scary movie, because I like Alan Clark movies, and this movie reminds me a lot of some early Alan Clark movies. But I think this movie has like some of the best moments of the year. And I am also on like team the ending of this movie, because I do think that it's very good at building tension. But as an overall movie, it doesn't like super scare me. But if everyone else wants it, like, I have no problem with it being here. I'm not going to fight against it.
All right. I'm putting it on the list, but it's probably going to be like number 9 or 10 based on the divisiveness here. Okay, we have two more slots left in 4 films. We've already discussed Alien, Romulus, and Terrifier 3. So let's give a moment to Immaculate and Late Night with the Devil. Two films that I think are really, really good. Immaculate is essentially What If the First Omen, but louder and trashier. I mean that as a compliment. And Late Night with the Devil, probably one of my favorite leading horror performances in a while from David Dasmalchian. And it's sort of a really unique found footage format where it's a lost 1970s talk show episode where bad stuff happened. I think Late Night with the Devil's biggest downside is that it's really low budget, and some of the effects don't quite work as well as I think that maybe anybody wanted them to. But I think the lead up in that movie, the growing tension that why am I watching this old 1970s talk show, this thing's going to go wrong, really leads to like a real pit of your stomach element. Like I said, terrific movie. I like it a lot. But is it scary enough for the list? Same with Immaculate.
Yeah, this is difficult because I do really, really like both of these films. I like love Immaculate, but it doesn't scare me as much as it makes me like hoot and holler and cheer. There are aspects of it that horrify me. The idea of other people using your body without your consent is obviously like always going to be something that fucks with me. But in terms of actual scares, not as much. This is just a phenomenal movie though. And then same with Late Night with the Devil. Like once it actually gets to the big scares, it doesn't like affect me as much, but I do think the buildup is really, really good. And I don't know. I struggle with this because I like them both a lot.
Yeah, I'm right there with you, BJ. And I think that if it was between these two, I might edge out Immaculate, even though that's the movie I like better of the two, just because Immaculate, scary wise, doesn't really go to places that, you know, unnerves or disturbs me more than it does, you know, satisfies the hell out of me in terms of, you know, her, you know, Sydney Sweeney's characters, her journey through the film and, you know, her ultimate, you know, what she goes through, you know, that's a movie that really leaves me energized as I leave it, rather than, you know, oh, I'm shuddering in my seat sort of thing.
I agree with all of that. And I kind of think Late Night with the Devil has that creepy factor in the lead up that, given what else we have to talk about on this list, I think it'll probably be pretty low in the ranking overall, but I think maybe it deserves a slot.
All right. So of these 4 movies, Alien, Romulus, Terrifier 3, Immaculate, Late Night with the Devil, let's go around real quick and don't cheat it. Don't try to gamify the system here, but just give me your honest answer. Of these four, which one would you plop on the list right now? I would say Late Night with the Devil. BJ?
Yeah, I would say Late Night with the Devil.
Bill?
I'd say Alien Romulus.
Ben?
I think Late Night with the Devil.
Brad. The cat has an opinion. I would like to hear what the cat has to say.
Yeah, my cat has something to say.
I think I would go with Late Night with the Devil.
All right, and Chris, of those four?
I would also go with Late Night with the Devil.
Okay, so something Late Night with the Devil is on this list. I'm going to drop it on there right now. Alien Romulus got one other vote there. So, okay, so of these three, we got to pick one. Alien Romulus, Terrifier 3, Immaculate. And I'm leaning Alien Romulus because everybody seemed, other than Chris, everybody seemed really happy with this pick earlier. And we kind of tabled it because I'm not saying he's wrong, but I'm saying he was in the minority. So my question is, do we say goodbye to Terrifier 3 and Immaculate and just plop Alien on here, just maybe in the number 10 slot? Just to...
I'd be happy with that.
Yeah, I think so. I've not seen Terrifier 3, but from what you guys were talking about earlier, I think that might make the most sense. As long as Chris is cool with that. I mean, if Chris is like, I would feel bad if Alien Romulus was on this list, then I could see a case for putting Immaculate on instead. So I don't know. What do you think, Chris?
I would feel bad if Alien Romulus was on this list. But like most Americans, I know when I'm beat. So I'm not going to like... fight against this. I reviewed Alien Romulus and I actually gave it a borderline positive review, but the more time has passed, the more I have come to just really dislike that movie. Like, it just bothers me. Everything about it bothers me.
I don't know if this will change anything at all, but because I think I've talked about it a bunch on like water cooler episodes, but I have a friend who is not a horror person at all. And this entire year has been me introducing her to horror movies and sort of like teaching her how to flex that muscle. And she saw Alien Romulus in theaters. It was the first Alien movie she had ever seen ever. And there were multiple instances where she was like gasping, like impulsively hitting the people next to her, absolutely terrified. So like, this movie is effective. Like, it's very, very effective in scaring people.
I honestly think if we leave it off this list, people might protest vocally in terms of because it was such a hit with the normies, you know? And I do think that if we were making this list for ourselves, we could probably make a better, you know, argument for Immaculate to be on there instead. But I, you know, this is our outreach program here.
Yeah, I like Immaculate more as a movie, but I think Alien Romulus fits the list better. Immaculate's great. The final 15 minutes of Immaculate is just great.
Oh, like, so good.
That final shot is great. We can gracefully say Immaculate's awesome, you should watch it, and then take off the list entirely. And Terrifier 3, you know if it's for you or not at this point. I feel like it's not scary. It just makes you feel gross. And if that's what you want, and sometimes it's what I want, then all power to everybody.
And I'll say, you know, I'm a huge fan of the Terrifier movies, actually, for their lore, for the way that it, you know, subverts or leans into slasher tropes and, you know, kind of puts them all together in a melange and is obviously going towards maybe a very Christian mythology sort of, you know, final battle in Terrifier 4. You know, I'm all in for that. So I find those movies pleasurable in other ways than, oh, they're scaring me or, oh, they're so gross. So.
Yeah, Terrifier 3 and Terrifier 2 are both legit good, which is something I would not thought I'd say after Terrifier 1, but there we go. Okay, we have our 10. As we've been working on this, I've been kind of shifting these around into a potential ranking based on our reactions. So I'm going to drop this into our chat as on our Slack as well. But I'll read it to the audience so they can follow along. This is my first stab at a ranking. This is not set in stone, but I figured this would give us a place to start. So, starting with 10 and counting up down to number 1, Alien Romulus, Late Night of the Devil, In a Violent Nature, Smile 2, The First Omen, Chime, Red Rooms, Long Legs, Nosferatu, and Oddity. How does that feel?
I would swap Nosferatu and Oddity. I would honestly put Nosferatu at number one. But other than that, I'm not. Actually, I would bump Red Rooms up. So I'm. Let me look at this again. I jumped the gun here. I would probably go. This order it seems right, but I would probably go Nosferatu, Red Rooms, then Oddity. That's how I would go. Then Chime. So yeah. In fact, I hate this list. Terrible, terrible list.
Side piece, this is the scariest thing about the 10 scariest movies list is the scariest movies list.
Yeah. the reason I put Oddity at number one is I think more of us have seen Oddity, and more of us can get behind it. So if that matters, that's one thing. But if everybody else is, the people who have not seen Nosferatu are okay with that being number one, then you know I'm okay hand waving it.
I mean, personally, I think Oddity should be number one, even though I have seen Nosferatu, but.
They're so different, man. They're like, yeah, the level, like, of scale and ambition of the two are
like, the way I like see it is like Oddity is like fun scary. It's like going to a haunted house scary, where like Nosferatu is more like bone chilling scary. And that's kind of what, like, between those types of scares, I find the bone chilling scary stuff to be actually scary. Whereas fun scary is like, I yelled out in shock and I laughed and I had a good time. That's how I reason it.
That's a good point. I like that framing.
This is tough, because I also think Red Rooms should be up higher, because like, oh my God, that movie just like plagues me. It's scared me so bad. Oh God, this is hard. Why do we rank things?
I wonder if
why do the algorithms require this of us? Why can't we just have things in alphabetical order and deal with it?
Let's try this. I'm going to start from the top, and we'll get to. Well, I want to see where we have our first disagreement. Do we all agree that Alien Romulus is a good fit for 10?
Yes.
Right. Yes.
Late Night Devil.
I think so. Yeah. Yeah.
Late Night Devil, is that a good fit for 9?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
In the Wild Nature, 8.
Yes.
Sure. Yes.
Smile 2, 7. Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. First Omen, 6.
I think.
All right.
Yes. All right.
Chime, 5.
NA.
Yeah, this is tough because me and BJ are the only ones who have seen it. I would probably bump it up higher, but I also, again, not since some people have seen it. I think
5 is a safe spot because, yeah, there's wiggle room for other people to see it.
All right, so the bottom 6 feel locked. So right now it's a question of, in which order do Oddity, Nosferatu, Longlegs, and Red Rooms fall? That gives us a really tight window to work with. I like having a tight window. So,
of those, what is it, 4? Of those 4, Longlegs would be last for me. I would go
I think me too.
Yeah, I would go Longlegs, Oddity, Red Rooms, Nosferatu.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Yeah, that's the order I would go from quote unquote least to best.
I'm upset, but whatever.
Well, let me try this. How do people feel about this order? Counting down. Longlegs, Red Room, Oddity, Nosferatu. I feel like that could please everybody, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Longlegs at 4. Red Rooms at 3.
Oddity at 2. Nosferatu at 1. Look, I haven't even seen Nosferatu yet, but I'm so on board that when people tell me it should be number one, I'm just kind of going to hand wave it.
Yeah, yeah, hopefully we're not getting into like hype train here, but yeah.
Yeah, I haven't seen Nosferatu yet either. I'm seeing it next week, but like just the way it's being talked about makes me feel like it probably will end up being a number one. However, if it doesn't, I'm going to come back here and we're going to do a whole new podcast and change the whole list.
Yeah.
All right. We count this down one more time from the top, and we'll all see how we feel hearing us out loud. Number 10, Alien Romulus. Number 9, Late Night with the Devil. Number 8, In a Violent Nature. Number 7, Smile 2. Number 6, The First Omen. Number 5, Chime. Number 4, Longlegs. Number 3, Red Rooms. Number 2, Oddity. Number 1, Nosferatu.
I'm very happy. I know other people probably aren't, but at the same time, I gave a movie a 10 out of 10 that didn't even end up in contention because it's not scary. So we can put our personal feelings aside.
Yeah. Abigail will make its appearance now and elsewhere this week of podcasts. So.
Yeah. I like this list, Jacob.
Yeah.
I'm happy with this list. I'm really happy with this list, folks.
Oh, good.
And I think, once again, a shout out to The Substance, Civil War, Heretic, Coffee Table, Immaculate, and Terrifier 3. All really good movies, which didn't make the cut. But yeah, congratulations, Nosferatu. Scariest film in 2024.
Hey, right in the end there.
All right, Ben, do you want to take us out?
Yes. All right. So that's going to do it for today's episode of the show. You can find more about all of the movies that we mentioned on the show at slashfilm.com. I will try to link to a couple things in the show notes as well. Slash Film Daily is published every weekday, bringing the most exciting news from the world of movies and TV, as well as deeper dives into the great features you can find on the site. You can subscribe to the show on Apple, Overcast, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. Send your feedback, questions, comments, concerns, and mailbag topics to us at bpearson@slashfilm.com. Make sure to leave your name and general geographic location in case we mention your email on the air. Don't forget to take a minute to rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. That really helps us out a lot. Tell your friends about the show any way you can. Thanks so much, and we'll talk to you all next time.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.